At Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 19, would you stand with me? In honor of reading God's word this morning, a very powerful, very familiar passage of scripture. The first time after I surrendered to the ministry, went before the church after we moved back from Norway, and we're a church there in Tulsa. I made known to that church God's call on my life. I was asked on a Wednesday night, our pastor there asked me to preach and bring a message, and it was this passage of scripture on spiritual warfare that I preached from that day. And you know how it usually goes with first sermons? How many are acquainted with people who preach their first sermon? Very many? How long are they usually? How long? Really short. Well, mine was pretty much like they are today. And Paula's uncle said that's the longest first sermon I ever heard in my life. And it hasn't changed. I think that's evidence of the calling of God on someone's life. I don't know. But also, when we came here in spring of 1982, before we moved here, came in view of a call to this church, it was this passage of scripture again that God allowed us to come to. And so, 30 plus years later, it still stands true. So let's come and look at these verses together this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles," or literally the methods, "of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day," literally in the day of evil, "and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Now, still standing, and there I want to come back in the Amplified and just read verses 10 through 13 in the Amplified. It'll help us to get the more depth of meaning here in a shorter amount of time. He says in verse 10, "In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides." Verse 11, "Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, that is contending with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly," or the supernatural, "sphere." Verse 13, "Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, to stand, firmly stand in your place." Let's pray. Father, in this place today, we just thank you for the gathering here this morning together of your people. We thank you, Father, for the precious privilege and the freedom that we have to do this. We thank you, Father, for the freedom to open your word and to read it, to search out its truths, so that we may have in our minds and our hearts, by the power of your Holy Spirit, an understanding, that we may gather wisdom to our souls from your word, that you may be glorified all in all through it all. And pray, Father, that today you would bless our understanding with the reading of your word. And we do ask it in that name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Ephesians is an incredible book of the Bible. Each book of the Bible is an incredible book of the Bible. But when we are focusing on one, it's really more powerful because we pray the presence of God being here and the Spirit of God promising to open up our understanding through His Word. And we're here today to do this. So the book of Ephesians is an incredible book of the Bible there in the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul from when he was in prison. But it is an epistle written so that Christians who know God through Christ will live their lives in Christian victory. Very important. And Paul writes, and in this writing of this epistle, he shows us, he showed his readers then, and we read it again today, it applies for us today, God's purpose in creating a unified church. A church based upon grace, the grace of God. Also, it is a church, the churches are to be filled with Christians who are living in spiritual unity and walking in spiritual unity with one another, living out their faith and practicing out their faith and being bold in presenting the gospel to the world. And we've heard a lot about this morning in testimony, in the reading that David had. And in the message and song we've heard today, a couple of them here. So it is that when you and I came to know Christ, we came into not only into a relationship with Him, but we gained a relationship that opposes God. We came out of a relationship that opposes God. We came into a relationship where now there is an enemy who is going to be more personal to you and to me than he was perhaps before we were saved, before we were born again. And so we come to read in this passage today that Paul gives us to tell us about a spiritual warfare that is going on. Now here's why I think it's important for us to revisit this passage of Scripture often, from time to time, but maybe in our personal lives often. It's because you and I have a battle to live out every day in our lives. That battle never goes away. It never diminishes. It never fades. It's always there. As you've heard me say before, oftentimes before, the world, the Bible tells us that there's the world, the flesh, and the devil that you and I must learn to cope with and deal with while we live in this world. And so it is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in your Bibles, if you want to turn there, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, the Apostle John is declaring who Christ is and what that means to know Christ. And then in chapter 2 and then verse 16, he says this: "For all that is in the world," concerning our relationship with Him, "for all that is in the world," and here he lists it, "it is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." That's not of the Father. That is not of God. But it is of this world. So you and I have to fight these things in our lives every day throughout the day. Every night, perhaps even throughout the night. All that is in the world, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so spiritual pitfalls come to you and to me every day in our lives. Now this is not my list, but someone gave this list as spiritual pitfalls in the life, because we think of, well, there are satanic attacks that come on. There's persecution that can come. We know that that's Satan inspired, and persecution comes to people and different things happen going. But there are pitfalls that you and I need to be warned about and wary of, and Paul addresses them in this armor of God, as we see it here. There, some of the pitfalls are of that of laziness, that of immorality or sexual sins, pride, jealousy, envy, insecurity, insincerity, compromise, unforgiveness, disappointment, and even fear. So as we come to look at this passage of Scripture, we understand that there are things that you and I have to deal with in our lives. And as we deal with these things in our lives, it's a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare. But there's hope and there's good things here. This is a very uplifting passage. So look with me back again at verse 10. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And we're not going to be able to delineate everything in this passage today. We'll probably continue this, the Lord willing, over the next few weeks. But in chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, there is an imperative in verse 10. There are several imperatives in this passage. An imperative means it's a command. It's something that you and I must do. It's not an option to us in our life. But it is imperative that you and I take heed to what we read, because it's very important for your spiritual life and my spiritual life. So he says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." That first imperative is to be strong. Be strong. That, you know, one of the things that's kind of different or unusual perhaps about that word is that it's passive. It's not something that you and I are commanded to do. It's something that you and I are commanded to be. We are to receive something from God that will change and empower our lives. This imperative means to be made strong. It means to be strengthened. And the first ideal here is that it's something that is not from within us, but it comes from outside of ourselves. If you'll look, just turn back in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Paul wrote earlier in this epistle that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, notice, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So when he comes to this portion of the epistle, toward the end of the epistle here, and he writes this final admonition here, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power and the might of God in your life." It means it's something that God provides for you and for me. And I believe, I see so much and I hear so much in people's lives and the lives of churches and the lives of Christian people. And then there's the lives of what I believe are probably unsaved people and lost people. And I think just a lot of Christian people have just given up. Or maybe out of a different attitude of heart, they've just succumbed to themselves not being able to walk in the victory for whatever reason, not walk in the victory that we are called to walk in. It's easier just to sit and be comfortable as a Christian and confident in Christ and not serve the Lord and not do anything. I love the message of that song. A lot of people come and planting the seed, plowing the ground. You and I are called not to sit, but we're called to serve. And in serving, if we're not serving, if we're not doing what we're supposed to, we're not going to find a lot of opposition in our lives spiritually. That's the way Satan works. And Paul makes it apparent to the readers that this is what happens and what goes on in people's lives. People just are kind of lulled to sleep spiritually in their life. When we think we're okay, we believe we're all right, we have our faith, we have our confidence in God, and we ought to have that. But then we're not doing anything in our spiritual lives. And so we are literally, as Paul says, he says, "Be strong in the Lord in the power of His might." It is the strength of God by the power of Jesus Christ that you and I are born again in the first place. And so Paul is intimating here that you and I have been brought into a union with God that we were not in when we were born into this world. Christ tore down that wall of partition. He tore that down that wall of separation, that wall of enmity against God by His death on the cross and by His resurrection. And by that power, and that's the message of Paul here in the entire epistle to the Ephesians, by Christ we have been brought into union with God, and in Him and in Christ, there is where we find our strength. And God supplies every need in our life, but He also empowers us through His Word and through His Spirit to give to you and me the power and the ability that we need
to fight the fight, to fight the battle. Now there's a goal here, and we'll see that here in just a few moments. This is not something that's new in the New Testament, but it's also found in the Old Testament. We don't have time to turn there, but you can go back in your Bibles into Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6, where it was said of Joshua to be strengthened and to be encouraged, to be empowered by the Lord to do what God called Joshua to do, to lead the children of Israel there in the land of Canaan. Then you move on down to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. There's King David. When he was discouraged by everything around him and no one came to encourage him, he encouraged himself in the Lord. You see, this is not a new idea for the New Testament. This is something that's been along with mankind from all along, from the very beginning of creation. And in Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 12, there the Bible tells us, the prophet Zechariah says, the people of Israel need to be encouraged, or there was a judgment coming. Something that would come upon them. And so you and I are admonished in the Bible, through the lives of other people and directly by commandment, to be encouraged in the Lord, to be empowered by God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, just a few pages back, look it with me. And Paul says there, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? What is this exceeding greatness of God's power? Look with me, verse 20. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. It is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that God bestows to you and to me to walk with Him, to live in victory with Him, and to glorify Him with our very lives. So the Apostle Paul prayed that that his readers here might understand and they might experience the personal working of God and His power in their lives on their behalf, and to appropriate this power which He has given, that it might be powerful, realized in your life and in my life. And so here's this first imperative back in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. But look with me at verse 11. There's a second imperative here. Here he says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the second imperative in verse 11, the Apostle Paul helps the reader to realize what's really happening and going on in our lives. We've preached for decades that you just need to come to Jesus, and we do, don't misunderstand me, we just need to come to Jesus and He'll take care of all of our problems, and when you become a Christian, then everything's going to be all right. Well, that's a false idea, because that's where the battle begins. Satan will now come against you and me because he no longer holds us in his grip. For Christ now has us in the palm of His hand. We belong to God. We belong to Christ our Savior. And Satan is an angry enemy of God. He is a powerful enemy of God. And Paul wants his readers to understand that. You and I need to understand it. We have a very powerful enemy. And so we need to put on the whole armor of God. And I suppose we could say this at all periods of time in New Testament history or church history that if there's ever a time we need the whole armor of God, it's now. Well, it is. If there was ever a time that we need the whole armor of God, we need it now. Not just the armor of God, but the whole armor of God. For that is Paul's message to the readers. That's God's message to His people. That's God's message today to you and to me. We need the whole armor of God in our lives. If you'll look with me at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, Paul said, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. The whole point of that chapter in the chapter 5 there is Paul is talking about put off the old, put on the new. You're a new creature in Christ. It's a new way of life. It's a new living for yourself. But you and I have to come along. It's not on automation in our lives. We have to come to God. We have to approach unto Him. We have to know Him. We have to pursue Him in our relationship there with Him. And so we have here in this passage of Scripture about what is old and what is new and what we're to put on, and that is the whole armor of God. And it means the complete set of instruments for a defensive warfare and for an offensive warfare. We have to have defensive warfare because of the attacks that come to us, because of the temptations that come to us, because things that are enticing us in the world and through the flesh, and then even the attacks of the devil. But there is the offensive warfare where you and I are called by God to go out into this world with the gospel of God, to take His saving gospel to every creature, everyone who will hear it and know it. It's not just pastors and teachers and specially dedicated Christian men and women that are to proclaim the gospel or to witness or to do soul winning. Every child of God, everyone who names the name of Christ, has that responsibility to take the gospel out there. Think about it. If you're saved, if you know you belong to Him, it was through the gospel of God. Why would you not take it to someone else? Why would you just receive something for yourself that's a treasure meant for all the human race, and you would not share it with anyone else? Why would we do that? But I'm afraid that's often the case. And Christians all over the world, not just here in America, not just here where we live, but all over the world, that is the situation. So we are to put on the whole armor of God. And the armor, the purpose of the armor of God is for two things. First of all, for protection. There are spiritual dangers. Young people, there are spiritual dangers out there in life. And when school starts up in just a few short weeks, and then after that, you know, and when school starts up in a few short weeks, there you're going to be confronted again, because it's in the masses of people there in the school situation that you're going to be challenged in your faith. Your spirituality is going to be challenged. Your heart is going to be challenged. Your mind for Christ is going to be challenged. And what does Paul say there? He says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles or against the deceits, against the methods, literally the methods of the devil. He's a master at it. For some 6,000 years, he's been a master of deceiving people. So there is a danger, and this spiritual armor is for our protection, to protect us from danger, but also to take it as a serious threat upon our lives. So here we are to have total dependence upon God, because this is, again, it's a passive thing, that we're to be strong in the Lord. It's what God wants to provide in you and in your life, His personal intervention in your life, so that you'll be able to see the circumstances around you and to evaluate the spiritual things that are there. When someone comes up and says, what's the harm of doing this? Or doing that? What's the harm of tasting alcohol or just testing out a little drug here? Everyone does it. My parents did it, someone might say. A lot of people might say. Whatever it may be, it's always the first step. And it's always a deception. And it might be something along that line, might be just telling a lie. It may be in the area of morality or sexual purity. It may be the challenge of the mind with pornography or some such thing. Or maybe it's a growing thing in our society, that of spiritual philosophies that are out there. The gothic stuff, the witchcraft, all those types of things that are there. And so Paul says, be on the watch for this, and put on, be strong in the Lord and put on that whole armor of God. And the armor literally is God Himself. And I'm going to just make a few remarks here and then I'm going to close. only about halfway through the introduction this morning. But I don't want us to say, well, it's going long and all that, and I don't want to lose anybody. God Himself is the armor. How do we know? We'll look at this in the weeks ahead, the Lord willing. Because we're asked to put on truth. We're asked to put on righteousness. We're asked to put on salvation. All that centers and focuses in with God. So all this has to do with every born-again child of God to come into an identity with God and with His purposes, to stand against the schemes of the devil. We're not going to take the time to look at all these, because if we start on one, then we wouldn't be able to finish it. But here it is. Just drop down here in verse 19, and we'll close with this. Notice, after Paul gives these admonitions, he says in verse 19, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Everyone here is called to carry out the gospel to the whole world, to anywhere in the world we're at, whether it's out there on the job, whether it's out shopping, whether it's out on vacation, wherever it may be, where we just pass people in the course of our lives. We are to declare the gospel of God. First of all, by the way we live our lives before them. Integrity before God is the most important thing. But then, to declare the truth of God to every human soul that is out there. Because everyone who in this world, in this life, who dies in their sins, unforgiven, unjustified, will spend an eternity separated from God in the lake of fire called hell. But you and I have the hope of Christ, the hope of God in us. And it's this gospel of God that's alive in us. And God wants to use you and me. But we cannot effectively take this gospel if we're defeated in our spiritual lives.